Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. Welcome to Ask Amy from What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, solving your parenting dilemmas one question at a time. This week, I pulled a question from our Facebook group. You can always join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/whatfreshhellcast. This listener wrote in to say, "My family moved last spring to a new school district with higher standards than our previous one. Socially, my eighth grader is doing awesome in his new school community. He went from zero homework and sparse spoon-fed tests to nightly homework and tests that require real studying and applying knowledge. He's having a really hard time understanding how to manage his time. I have given him 100% of my energy and support in every way. Tutors, structured study time and areas, help with planning assignments, structured downtime, allowing him control. So I know he has all the tools and support to be successful. The only thing holding him back is his own effort and attitude. He procrastinates, he bargains his way into doing the least possible effort, and then when I check in with him to review or to help plan his assignments, he snarls at me. He needed to study for a Spanish test, and he asked me to help him study, and then proceeded to tell me how unnecessary the study methods I set up were. Another example, we discussed using a small agenda to keep track of assignments. We agreed to look it over daily together. One class's assignments were scribbled so poorly he couldn't read it. When I said what's coming up in science, he was mad at himself for not caring enough to write it legibly, but he took it out on me. So he's in this cycle of not wanting to do the work or the task in the moment and then getting mad later that he essentially set himself up to struggle. We actually let him make his own study plans for the first 6 weeks with us just supporting him where we could, but that resulted in poor grades. So then we forced him to let us help him study and he was much more successful. It's just that he fights the help. So it seems like I have two options. A, say, fine, go ahead, do it your own way, which will result in consequences I fear he is not mature enough to think about. Or B, I keep taking the abuse and fighting him, knowing it's the only way he will stay on track, but it's definitely not the healthiest means to an end." It's a long question, and I wanted to read the whole thing because I so deeply identify with so much of what this listener is saying, as I think many of us do. Our kids need our help with something frustrating, and then they also take out their frustration on us. I have been there. It is really hard. It's important to keep top of mind that your kid does need your help, clearly, and he actually needs your help with two things: the tasks, the homework itself, and the anxiety and overwhelm that he feels about the tasks, about his inability to get started. And yes, it's easiest to sort of wipe all of that on you. What a nice clean towel to wipe your hands on and get rid of all that stuff so then you can sit down and work. It probably is helping him a little bit to take it out on you. It doesn't make it easier on you. I'm also not saying it's right. I'm saying it's kind of working for him. However, what you're experiencing is like it's attitude. He's just choosing to do it this way. I want to suggest to you that it might be actually fear or anxiety, or fear and anxiety, that's manifesting in his yelling at you. So when you feel like you're taking the abuse, which again, I understand why you feel that way, and that you have to fight him, I think it's probably true that when he's yelling at you, like, why do you make this so hard? Why you always? Why do you never? That what he's really taking out is his frustration at his inability to function at the level he wants to function at, not just the level you want him to function at. I think you're spot on, in addition, that natural consequences in this case are not really going to help you. Natural consequences is like, well, your kid forgot his soccer cleats. I guess he won't have the cleats, and I guess he won't play in the soccer game, and he won't do that anymore. That's true for some kids. It's not true for all kids. It sounds like it's not true for your kid. And it sounds like, as you say, him failing a bunch of classes with work that's much harder than what he's used to is not going to help him pass. This is a little bit out of his control. He's not just failing because he wants to. If that were the case, then the natural consequences would be enough. Sounds like they might not be enough. Here are some approaches that have worked for me in the situation that I want you to consider. One is read The Explosive Child by Ross Green. His three-pronged approach to approaching these situations and defusing them more quickly is very useful. Keep the questions open-ended. It seems like you're really upset. What's up? I am upset because you're such an idiot all the time. Wow, I can really see how upset you are. Can you tell me what's going on? Keep the questions open-ended. Keep the questions turned back towards the work. Another thing that can be useful is a third party, if it's a possibility, financially, time-wise, everything else. This listener says in her post that it seems insane to pay somebody else to say the same exact things that you're going to say, that it's hundreds of dollars, that it's time. There is a possibility, I'm going to tell you, that your child can hear the same messages more from another party. They can't yell at that other person, and so they're not going to, and so they're going to sit down and do the work. There's also, of course, the possibility that somebody who does do this with other kids is going to have different ideas. They don't bring the agenda. They don't bring the history. It brings the volatility way down. If it's available to you, I would consider it, only to take yourself out of it, because it is frustrating to have verbal abuse heaped on you. The other thing I want to make sure you consider, I can't exactly tell if you have a parenting partner or not. If you do have a parenting partner, definitely make sure that you are not taking this all on yourself. It can easily turn into, can you believe mama's like this? And then your partner comes to you like, God, why do you guys fight all the time? And it's because you're taking on all of this stuff, this fire hose of frustration that your kid has. It's easy to have it all directed at one parent or the other, and then triangulation occurs. So if that's happening in your house, ask for the help you need. Get your parenting partner to set aside some times when they're around to help with things. Make an appointment with the kid. I want you also to consider the concept of executive function. If one believes, as I usually do, that kids do well if they can, then your kid is not struggling right now to frustrate you or to prove a point, but because he's struggling either with anxiety or with fear or with executive function or with some combination of the three. There's a book called Smart But Scattered Teens. I'm going to put the link in the show notes for that. You should definitely look at that. This kid sounds like needs more scaffolding, needs more structure, needs somebody to beat up on. It doesn't have to be you. It shouldn't be you, but it does help to understand that what's coming out is not about you, even if he says it is, that it is about the work, that it is about the frustration. And if you can make your number one goal a peaceful home, then it helps one be a little non-responsive, speaking from experience, and then the number two goal, that he doesn't fail, that he gets the support he needs. I just want to finish by saying I totally understand, listener, how frustrating this is. It isn't fair. It is more than a mom should have to take on. And so many of us have done it, and we wish you luck. Send us your questions and we might answer yours next. Email us questions@whatfreshhellpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear?
gone.
Poof. Bye. See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking.